Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari, still here at the VSiN Circa studio. I hope you didn't forget about me. JVT and Vinny Maiulo at the South Point Sportsbook. The NFL draft, you can't forget, is just about 2 weeks away, 15 days. Who's counting? Probably JVT. So let's talk about some of these NFL draft props. What about pick by position, right? So these are via DraftKings. The first running back to be drafted, Najee Harris, is the favorite here from Alabama at -150. Travis Etienne is +150 and Javonte Williams 4-1. JVT, what do you think? First running back.
So I try to, at least in this one, Danielle, not to let my personal bias come into this, because I personally think that Travis Etienne is the better running back. I think he's better suited for today's NFL, right? Extremely quick, very good out of the backfield. I think he's a little bit of a better pass catcher, at least in my, you know, valuation of these two guys. So the initial thought is at -150, it seems like a relatively high price. But I would also say that I think factored into that price, and this is just completely anecdotal, is that Najee Harris, and reading some reports it's there too, feels like Steelers, Najee Harris, kind of a match made in heaven for the most part. And why you're seeing that, because the Steelers have been so, there's so much smoke around the Steelers taking a running back. But I do think there's value in a +150 price on Travis Etienne, because I think he suits the NFL game today a little bit better.
JVT, I like your thought on the Steelers, even though they typically go defense, but their running game is really what cost them last year when you think about it. They had no running game whatsoever. Jets right ahead of them in the 23rd spot could also use a running back, but they could probably, both teams could probably get a running back in the second round. I think from the price here, though, Daniel, I would say Etienne at +150. When you could take 150 rather than lay 150 on one of these two. I like Etienne at that price.
All right. Well, interesting you say a match made in heaven, JVT, because if I was Najee Harris, I would not be stoked to be working with Big Ben, but that's just me. What about first offensive lineman drafted? Penei Sewell is the heavy favorite here at -500, but I think you mentioned yesterday, like, some drafts don't even have him going as the first offensive lineman. Rashawn Slater also at 3-1. What do you think?
I kind of want to explore the hate for Ben Roethlisberger a little bit more coming from Danielle. Like, that intrigued me. I think, Danielle, and this is really worth noting, because Penei Sewell, as of like 2 weeks ago, was high as -1,000 to be the first offensive lineman taken. And that was, there was a lot of reports out there, and this is why it always helps to kind of take in information and see what these guys are. Penei Sewell, one of the guys who decided to opt out as well, right, in terms of not playing college football this season. But there were a lot of indications that maybe the year off slowed him, whatever it was, his development, and a guy like Slater is coming up on him being the first offensive lineman. So this is one of those where I think Slater still, there is some value in that price, Daniel, because I don't think -500 should be the price. I think it should be closer to like $3 here when we're talking about Penei Sewell being the first offensive lineman taken. But it kind of sucks, because personally I get the, well, like, I saw the price in jurisdictions where I couldn't bet it, and now when it's starting to become available for me, like, I don't want 3-1. I could have gotten like 5 or 6-1 a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, I do think it's Slater, but it does suck to miss out on a price like this, because it wasn't really available over here.
A couple of months ago, I thought that the Jets at number two before they got rid of Sam Darnold would be all over Penei Sewell, but at this price here, you can't lay it. The unpredictability of the draft. You got Slater at 3-1. How about Darisaw from Vatek also in the discussion as well? So I think the year off is probably becoming more and more of a topic, Danielle, but at 5-1, laying 5-1, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's interesting to see if it'll help or hurt him. First defensive lineman drafted, how about Kwity Paye, -200. He's the favorite here. He's also my favorite for best name for a player to go in the first draft. So Kwity Paye at -200. Jalen Phillips, former Bruin, now of Miami, 2-1. And Christian Barmore, 8-1. What do you think?
So I think the defensive linemen are kind of tough, just because this doesn't project to be a really good defensive draft for the most part. Like, there's no real dominant edge bender that's out there. So I would personally find myself gravitating toward a couple of guys that are plus prices, like a Jalen Phillips, because it seems like the evaluation around these guys is so up in the air that any one of these teams, if they evaluate them differently, could go in a different direction. I don't want to lay a price in that situation.
Yeah. Pats, if they stay at 15 and go, they could go linebacker probably, right? Not necessarily rusher. I think Quiddy Pay, if I was going to lay a price, it would be there because of the Dolphins, let's say at number 18. I don't know if the Raiders would go there. Either the Raiders or Miami. If I was going to lay a price, this would be one of them. This would be the one.
Yeah, he's going to pay it for pay. All right, coming up, NBA, NHL, and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert, Hour 2, kicking off right here. I'm Danielle Avari at the VSiN Circus Studio. We have Jonathan Von Tobel in for Matt Eumanns. The JVT Takeover continues this week, and Vinny Maiulo also at the South Point Sportsbook. Coming up this hour, we have Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet, and we'll get to talk some NHL with Andy McNeil. JVT?
It's almost quitty time. Right, Danielle? Almost quitty time. Yeah, see, I can match it back.
Well, you two are good.
Yeah.
Huh? Strong. Strong.
Pun game is strong. Very strong.
I'm going to stick to the numbers.
Puns are good. Analytics and puns is what I do. Okay, we have a lot left here. NBA, there is a very deep card today. You and I were actually talking about this off the air. I want to say this because I am an ardent defender of the National Basketball Association. You know, I think there's a lot of deep conversation to be had about the league. The flack that it gets, especially this year, I think it's lost on a lot of people, Vinny. The compact nature of this schedule and so many guys. I mean, I don't know how it's lost when you see guys like Jamal Murray going down when his knee buckles like that. The consistent injuries that these guys are going through, and which is why the injury reports over the last few weeks, I think I mentioned it yesterday when I write up these games, just pouring through injury reports trying to get an idea of who's going to be available. But when you and I were talking off the air, because one of the biggest games, or was supposed to be one of the biggest games today, was Philadelphia and the Brooklyn Nets. The Philadelphia 76ers, of course, right now with a very scant lead over Brooklyn for the top overall seed in the Eastern Conference. This was supposed to be it. This was for the thing. This was the big cheese. It's on the line here. Let's go. Both teams, 37-17. They've split two games. Like, this was going to be awesome. And then now we look at the injury report, and it looks like the Brooklyn Nets are going to be really shorthanded. But you and I were laughing at the fact that Steve Nash is reportedly telling us he just doesn't know if Kyrie Irving is going to be available at this point right now, if he's going to be able to make it to the game. Kyrie, of course, taking some personal time. We'll see if he returns. This is, of course, the second time we've seen Kyrie Irving take some personal time. So you tell us, I want a two-part question here. One, the action, you know, what it's been like in terms of the move. But for you guys here at the South Point, you know, in terms of the overnight lines, like how have you guys been handling the NBA just the last few years, but generally this year in terms of hanging overnight lines? Because I have noticed more and more a lot of shops will wait until around the first injury reports of about 10 a.m. or so our time to release the initial lines.
Well, you're going to put up the overnights, but you're not going to take your full limits,
Limits
and you've got to protect yourself. I mean, in this game here, we knew that Harden was already out and that Durant would probably rest, right? The Nets did win yesterday at Minnesota convincingly, but they still played, right? Because Kyrie didn't play and because Harden didn't play. We thought that Irving was going to be back today, so the game opened at 6.5. The game's up to 9. We came on the air, it was 8.5. It's up to 9. 230 on the opener to 225.5 now on the total. Look, here's the thing. The other part you got to take into consideration. Yeah, this was the game everybody wanted to see today. Identical records in the standings. The top two teams in the Eastern Conference ahead of Milwaukee, right? JVT. Now, but look, you know, these they split their two meetings. Right, they both won at their respective home courts. This is the last meeting of the season before the playoffs. All this load management. I think I'm thinking about it differently this year, too, JVT. You had a condensed season last year. You got a condensed season this year. Still a quick turnaround. Teams now, though, need to start positioning themselves. Like, where are we going to be? Where are we going to be seated? Mm-hmm. And how are we gonna, and how's that going to impact
our
travel? And who are we going to have? Exactly. How healthy are we going to be or not be? So at this point here, what on paper and on the schedule a week ago looked like it was going to be a pretty exciting game. Even a couple of weeks ago, everybody had it circled, right? That was before Harden went out, and not who just. But you see, I get the sense for the Nets, and by Steve Nash's reaction, this Kyrie thing is a bit of a distraction. That's not what you want to have when you're in a dogfight for the number one seed in the East.
So, and look, and it's other than just Kyrie as well. It is worth noting too, LaMarcus Aldridge out.
He's been out. Yeah.
Illness. Chris Chioza out. Spencer Dinwiddie, torn ACL. Kevin Durant, not going to play. Hamstring, of course. They're not playing him on second legs back-to-backs. They put an early game yesterday. Blake Griffin, left knee, out. James Harden, we know, out. Tyler Johnson, out. That's the intriguing part, too, about the Kyrie Irving from the hardcore matchup perspective, Vinny. I have no idea who's playing point guard for them. If Kyrie Irving doesn't play, you're talking about him, Chioza, James Harden, and Tyler Johnson all out. Like, the ball handling for Brooklyn and what's going to happen there from that perspective, that's going to be fascinating. And you can speak to this, though, because we see this all the time with these injuries. The second that Kyrie Irving is announced, if he is going to play, I would assume the Sixers 7.5, probably in that range, maybe 7. Comes if that's down. Announced, it comes back down.
Comes down. Total probably goes back up. But again, let's remember this, that the Sixers have played, what, 10 of 12 to the under, too, right? They're playing some pretty decent defense. You know, JVT, right now it looks like he's not going to play, and that's what everybody's belief is, but that's why it's been driven up to 9. If he does come back in a game, you may get down to 7.5. I don't think we'll see 7, though.
So I did want to touch on something very quickly from last night, and I wrote about this a little bit this morning in the game notes, which, by the way, check that out, VSiN.com. You can actually go, by the way, to VSiN.com/JVT.
Slash.
Yes.
Yes.
Backslash. And then it'll take you to every single one of my works of art. But, you know, I wrote about this at the top, Vinny, because yesterday we had a pretty intriguing final. And big picture-wise, as we see everything shake out from an injury perspective, what's happening in the NBA, Clippers get a big win yesterday. It was a 126-115 final over the Indiana Pacers. The Clippers have quietly been rolling in the second half. We're talking about 14-4 straight up, 13-5 against the spread since the All-Star break. They have the, I think now it's like 7th best defensive efficiency in the NBA again since the All-Star break. But they have, and that's the most important part to me, right? It's the defense in the first half of the year, Vinny, they were as low as 19th in terms of efficiency. They've really started to get a little bit better. I wrote an article during the All-Star break as well where we talked about, if you looked at some of the numbers, some of the tracking data, the Clippers were actually top team in terms of tightly contested shots, but they were a bottom team in terms of shooting on those attempts. They were just getting unlucky for the most part. So you're starting to see that correct itself a little bit here. But when you look at the big picture, right, in the Western Conference, Denver Nuggets, we know what happened with Jamal Murray. The Utah Jazz, from a matchup perspective, I think don't match up well with them. They don't have a big-bodied wing that can defend a Kawhi Leonard, right? Royce O'Neal is going to be their best option. Outside of that, they don't really have anything for a one-on-one matchup. Phoenix Suns, I think, are a pretty bad matchup with Los Angeles. They're 0-2 against them this year. And by the way, they're 4-2 against the Los Angeles Lakers in the last two seasons. Like, I think this is kind of slowly becoming where, dare I say this, the Clippers might be in the driver's seat for the Western Conference.
Well, enough. You think the number one seed? You know,
I'm talking about the number one seed to win the Western Conference.
But they're going to position themselves. They're going to be very close attention. Smart teams, you know, pay attention not only themselves, but smarter teams pay attention to what's happening with everybody else. Paul George had 36 yesterday, right, in the win over
Indiana.
But he's going to rest tonight. We know Kawhi is already out. That's why you're looking at this number. You're saying, well, here are the Clippers with 6 straight wins, five cashes at the window. Why aren't they a bigger favorite? Well, because of those guys sitting out, this is a game that you hope that they can put into the books, right, and start padding. And these are the games they need to win, to your point, where they're going to position themselves in a better seeding spot for the playoffs. So 3 now. Again, the overnight? 9.5, but again, not taking full limits on that, because we thought that we didn't know George was not going to play. We weren't sure about Kawhi Leonard not playing. So down to 3 right now, JVT, 216.5, which is also an adjustment on the total 2. So, this is a situation where the Clippers in a very good spot. And you start looking at future prices on them, particularly for the conference.
What do you guys have here in South Point?
I'm going to pull that up right now.
And should note, too, the Clippers are not in any shape perfect. Like, they're not in perfect shape either, right? Patrick Beverley the other day, hand injury. He undergoes procedure. He's not going to be reevaluated for 4 to 5 weeks. We talked about Paul George. Paul George is resting because he's got this chronic toe injury that he's been dealing with for a while. So that's actually a real issue to keep track of as they go forward. Serge Ibaka has now missed, I think, 16 consecutive games, 17 straight games with a back injury that has really hampered him. Backs are obviously a very serious injury to monitor. So they're not in perfect health either. But if you assume that these guys are all coming back, all of a sudden it's the Thanos quote, right? Where did it all lead you? Right back to me. Well, after all of this, Vinny, we're right back to potentially the top two teams being the Los Angeles squads and us looking forward to a Western Conference Finals matchup between the Lakers and the Clippers.
Yeah, 3-1.
3-1 here to win the Western Conference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so about 6-1, I would assume, then, to win the NBA Finals. And this is the other thing. You could probably speak to this as well. I did this last year where the Clippers are, I don't know if the term is disrespected, but they're not going to be as popular selection as the windows. So, like, for example, barring anything happening to the Los Angeles Lakers, like LeBron missing the rest of the season, right? Mm-hmm. That 6-1 is going to be available for you until the playoffs start. Like, if you want to bet the Clippers, you can sit back, you can wait, because for the most part, the 6-1 is just going to be sitting out there because they're not a team that has been very popular at the window. I bring up last year because last year, 325 was the best price on them to win the title. I just sat back and waited until the day before the postseason started and then grabbed it, and then that's when it started to shrink once you got to the postseason. Then they ultimately
lost. Well, I think you've got the Jazz in the equation this year. You brought up a key point. If the Lakers are not 100% healthy, mm-hmm. well, that's a different story. But I don't think you'll see 6-1. I wouldn't leave it as high as 6-1 simply because of what we're talking about. If they're healthier and they're positioned with better load management / rest, well, then you know they're in a position to do well in the playoffs. Now they won't have home court at this rate. Utah will, but still a healthy Clippers team. They're as dangerous. And you can find 6-1 on them, grab it.
Now there is quietly a very big game in the Western Conference tonight in terms of playoff seeding. We were really excited for Philly and Brooklyn. Looks like we're not going to get the drama that we want, but the Memphis Grizzlies will take on the Dallas Mavericks today mm-hmm. in a game that will go a long way toward deciding the pecking order of the play-in games at the bottom of the Western Conference. This game holds a lot of weight in the big picture for these teams, and this is going to be a very important one. Dallas at the open, Vinny, was a 2-point favorite with a total of 227. Have we seen any shift side or total up to this point?
Yeah, it's all about Dallas here, JVT, and it's only one game separating these two in the standings in the division, in the loss column. Mm-hmm. That's the one that I pay attention to the most. 2 on the opener. Dallas now up to 3.5, and the total on the game, 225.5, which is only down a point off of the opener.
Yeah, and we should note a couple of things here for the Dallas Mavericks. First off, 1-3 straight up and against the spread in their last four games. Mm-hmm. 2 of those losses to Houston and San Antonio I kind of feel are a little inexcusable. Like, if you think that you are a contender, mm-hmm. if you are going to compete for a top 6 seed in the Western Conference, those are games that you don't lose. Now, offensively, the Mavericks have been playing below their mark, right? They're a really good shooting team. They're a team that takes mm-hmm. around 40% of their shots from beyond the arc, that shoots very well, but over the last few games, 33.6% from beyond the perimeter. That's going to kind of correct itself. And I think from a matchup perspective, Vinny, and I think this is why you've seen the market move in this direction for Dallas, it plays into the hands here because Memphis is a team that allows their opponents to take 3-point shots at times, has been burned along the perimeter by good perimeter-oriented offenses. And in fact, these two teams met right before the All-Star break, and Dallas housed them. And so this might be a little revenge spot, but from a matchup perspective, it seems like a little bit of a nightmare here for the Memphis Grizzlies.
The perimeter game is the difference here, JVT. You hit it on the head, and that's why this line is just about on the verge of getting doubled from the opener of 2.
Yep, and no real injuries, of course, to report here. Jaren Jackson still out. De'Anthony Melton is the one. He's been out of the lineup, and Justice Winslow as well for the Memphis Grizzlies. Clean report there for the Dallas Mavericks. Other games that are up later here today, let's go to the New York Knicks and the New Orleans Pelicans, because the New York Knicks, you a Knicks guy? I know you're a Mets guy.
I did grow up a Knicks fan. I did. Yeah. I remember the glory days.
Does this make you happy?
That they're relevant?
They're relevant, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think it's good for business, too, right? Yeah. When there's playoff games in Madison Square Garden, yeah, sure. Yeah,
so they're taking on the Pelicans. Pelicans opened up 3 with a total of 220.5. Pels have been banged up lately. What has been the update here, side and total?
Well, the Knicks are getting the betting attention here. Again, the Pelicans opened 3. It's down to 2.5 and 219. But, you got to be happy about the Knicks if you're betting them, right? Mm-hmm. What they've covered, 13 of 17 games, 6 straight games that you've cashed with the Knicks. At the window. Now, no Lonzo Ball, or he's doubtful, right? He hasn't played the last 3 games. So, he's a pretty important component for this Pelicans team, JVT. And the Knicks, again, listen, they're just above 500, but they're playing better, and they're cashing tickets.
Yep.
So, they're getting a slight support so far right now. Down to 2.5.
Yeah, not surprising to see this total drop either. Like you mentioned, Pelicans, you mentioned kind of riding the ship a little bit, 2-1 straight up and against the spread their last 3 games. Their defensive rating, here's the thing too. The defensive rating for the Pelicans over the last 3 games, 99.7. Out of this world, fantastic. But this is the 27th ranked defense of the league. Mm-hmm. That's going to be an anomaly. That'll correct itself at some point. But again, what's interesting here from a matchup perspective, how these teams play. Knicks in the bottom half of the league, actually well into the bottom 20s in terms of the amount of attempts they give up within 4 feet of the basket. there's a kid on the Pelicans who weighs about 300 pounds, who's pretty skilled and athletic.
He's not bad.
Who I think can attack the rim relatively well.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm really looking forward to. And maybe looking at Zion Williamson in the range of, you know, a point total prop, what he's going to look like. Mm-hmm. It seems like he is going to be able to have success here if you're looking at just the numbers in this matchup.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it, JVT. The Knicks, it's not like, listen, you asked me if I was grew up a Knicks fan. Their defense was really good. This defense is not so.
No, it is not like those old school Knicks.
No,
right?
It's not.
I don't think anybody's getting clotheslined on their way to the hoop here.
There's no messages being sent by this defense.
So there is there's another matchup here, and this is just more of an injury nightmare. So I would assume that you talk about limits and everything like that. I would assume, too, from a limits perspective, certain games like this Cavaliers game, for example, when you have key guys like Darius Garland, like Colin Sexton, who have popped up on this injury report, who we haven't had an update yet, right? Both questionable, both very key to what the Cavaliers do. I would assume that this is a game specifically that you would limit until you get an idea of what's going to happen.
Well, the limits are up today. Overnights are the ones where you're taking less here. But the Cavs are getting the betting support. I guess folks think that Sexton is going to play. He was out with a groin injury on Sunday. This game opened 5 last night. It's down to 3.5 right now in favor of the Hornets. And the totals come down just slightly to 212.5. Not much of a move there, but 1.5 to the Cavs right now. Gordon Hayward's still out, though, for the Hornets.
Yeah, LaMelo Ball, Gordon Hayward, Malik Monk, Terry Rozier is going to be back. P.J. Washington, small ball center for Charlotte, not going to be there either. All right, we have plenty left to get to. Teddy Greenstein's going to join us, senior editor, PointsBet. Let's discuss everything. We have to talk about the Nuggets. We can take a look at a little bit of golf as well. We'll clean up the Major League Baseball card. And then the bottom of the hour, Andy McNeil, VSiN's NHL analyst, is going to be with us as we discuss a little bit of the fallout from the trade deadline, a little bit about tonight as well in the National Hockey League. Don't go anywhere. It's My Guys in the Desert.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari. The spring sports betting action is just getting started. Our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. The weather and the betting action are heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with JVT.
Danielle, thank you very much. It is that time. Teddy Greenstein joins us right now, senior editor, PointsBet, to give us down low on what's going on over there. What's up, Teddy? How are you?
Got the A-team in today. Happy to be with you guys.
Oh, I like it. All right, A-team. Good. Matt Youmans, if you're out there listening, I'm sure he is on his vacation. Just know that I'm better than you. Okay, let's discuss. There's a lot to get to. First off, NBA, Teddy. So we saw some really rapid and major adjustments on the title odds for the Denver Nuggets. They lose Jamal Murray, a horrifying, very sad injury to him with the knee. So what has PointsBet done? The adjustment, first off, on the future odds and how you're handling it for bettors as well.
Yeah, so we adjusted the futures odds from 15-1 to 30-1 to win the NBA title. And we understand that a lot of the fans were sad. You know, Denver and Colorado is a huge market and area for us. That's where our U.S. headquarters is. So we decided to say, hey, if you had placed money on the Nuggets before the injury, you will be protected. Even if they don't win the NBA title, you will get it back in a free bet. So we're trying to soften the blow.
Yeah, I think Denver Nuggets fans will probably like that quite a bit and be able to at least emotionally hedge everything and sit back. And if not, hey, you get a little free cash to get back on that one. All right, so as we move on here, there's a couple. This is a really big card today in the NBA. Yeah. One of the games that has kind of stuck out, and I think like the Chicago Bulls have been kind of disappointing. I thought they would be a little bit better once they got Vucevic. I thought they would be a pretty good play to make the postseason. Taking on a Magic team that has times been a little bit better than the market has indicated. What's it been like for you guys today? 9.5 is what I'm looking at, 214.
Well, so what we've seen is heavy action on the favorites, on the Bulls, on the Spurs, and on the Pacers. And we're also getting a lot of interest on Nikola Vucevic to do well against his former team, obviously. So he's, as you mentioned, he's new Bulls center, big deal in town here in Chicago. I think the Bulls are only 3-7 since he came over, but it's not Vucevic's fault. He's been very solid. So the number one most bet on prop on points bet is Vucevic to score over 21.5 points against his former team. We also have a really good boost tonight. 25 points or more boosted from plus 150 to plus 180. And he's been close. I think he's been averaging 24. So if he has a big game against his former team, that's going to pay very well. We also have a Teddy name a bet up for Illinois customers. I was looking at, will he outscore Wendell Carter Jr. by 9.5 points or more? That's boosted to plus 140. So that's the matchup everybody's going to be curious about. I'm also on Wendell Carter over on rebounds, I think 8.5, because, you know, I don't know if he's going to be making a lot of shots, but he's going to be hustling and playing hard at the United Center in his return.
Brent, got to show them what they're missing out on. You trade me. Well, I'll show you. Yeah. And get to put up some really good numbers with the garbage team like the Orlando Magic. All right, let's move on to the Lynx. First off, how'd the weekend go for you at the Masters?
I mean, for me, terribly. I was hoping for Spieth. I had Spieth at 125-1 to win because PointsBet had this offering of combo Valero Texas Open and the Masters. And obviously, Spieth got it done at the Valero. So a $20 ticket was going to pay $2,520. Didn't get it done, and Matsuyama was nowhere on my radar. At least I didn't have anything on Dustin, Rory, or Bryson, so I was able to fade them. But we have the RBC this week. I don't know if you guys have any good plays, but we have some interesting name of bets I could tell you about.
Yeah, fill us in. I know Webb Simpson, obviously, of course, wins here last year. We saw him number two in the power rankings when we were going into that. A very good course suited for him over at Hilton Head. So what's the analysis?
Right. Yeah, so a couple of them here. So Paige's name of bet focuses on Abraham Answer. Mm-hmm. Abe was one of three players to make the cut at the Masters last week who didn't three-putt. One was Patrick Reed, one was Mark Leishman, and the other was Answer. So that has been boosted from plus 375 to 400. So if he avoids three-putting, all those greens this weekend, 4-1. And then I've got a boost, Will Zalatoris. Will he be in the top five on Sunday on the leaderboard at any point? And if he is, that one pays plus 380, boosted from plus 350. So we're trying to get creative with these name bets and have some fun with them.
Teddy Greenstein and also the podcast, Right the Range. Check that out as well. You can find that up on the Twitter page, Teddy Greenstein. Teddy, good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Loved it, guys. Have a great night.
Yep, you got it. You too. All right, we'll come back. Vinny's alongside. We got to get to hockey. Andy McNeil, my guy, is going to come up, discuss everything in the NHL, the fallout from the trade deadline, and more. It's My Guys in the Desert.
Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Jonathan Von Tobel and Vinny Maiulo.
Okay, we have some news. Do we have a news sounder or a bell? Ding, 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 whatever it is. It looks like we have an update here, Vinny.
Tell me.
Maiulo.
All right.
Malik Andrews up on Twitter about a minute ago. Make sure I'm not getting duped here. The Nets starting their 29th starting lineup tonight against the 76ers. DeAndre Jordan back in to counter the size of one Joel Embiid. Brooklyn starters today, Landry Shamet, Joe Harris, Jeff Green, DeAndre Jordan, and Kyrie Irving. He will play tonight for the Brooklyn Nets.
Now you'll see this number start to trend down from the 9. And, well, it's good. Good for the Nets. Makes for a better game, too, right?
Yeah, of course.
Still high. Think about that. Two best teams in the Eastern Conference. And game is 9.
Yeah, still sitting at 9 right now, and we're starting to see a trickle down. Yep, the 8.5 is starting to pop up, so we'll see as that news is out. And again, Kyrie Irving is going to play. Like my guess was 7.5 in that range. Maybe that's a little too strong. Maybe 8 is going to be the closing number.
Back to 8. Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to see this start to head down. And the important part, something that you noted, that will head down. The total will probably go up about a point or so because Kyrie Irving does add a little bit more offensive pop for the Brooklyn Nets and what they're looking at going forward here. So news of the day, Kyrie Irving is going to be in the starting lineup for the Brooklyn Nets. With that, let's look around town, see what's going on here. First off, 1-0 still, second game of a doubleheader, should say, between the Twins and the Red Sox. Bottom of the fourth inning, Erod for the Boston Red Sox has a runner on second. One out right now, trying to work his way out of this one. He faces Miguel Sano. You have 114-89 lead for the Milwaukee Bucks over the Minnesota Timberwolves. 5:33 left to go. Vinny, when you see a center that is not skilled like Karl-Anthony Towns, taking pot shots from beyond the arc, I feel like the team wants to get out of there, and we have seen that a couple of times from the Minnesota Timberwolves.
114-89, JVT. Wow.
Yep.
Look at this game.
Hey, man,
nine,
it's an early game.
I think they're going to cover JVT.
Yeah. Right? The early games in the NBA have not been as dramatic. It's been kind of disappointing, huh?
No, they haven't. And there's not been as much interest, frankly. I bet the under in this game. They're going to be in good shape on that.
Well, and that was, I would assume, that was mostly educated, sharp action.
Yeah, that was not your casual fan.
Yep. All right, we have first pitch actually just underway between the Padres and the Pirates, so we'll update on that one as well. Closing number, I think we're getting close pretty to $2, I think, on my screen, right? Yeah.
$2.10, yeah.
Yep. So $2 on the San Diego Padres. So let's discuss very quickly, before we get to Andy McNeil in a couple of minutes, a couple of National League starts that will get started in about a little less than 45 minutes from now. We'll start with your boys, Philadelphia Phillies, taking on the New York Metropolitans, the Mini Miulitans right now at home. Price, small underdog?
Yeah, they are. Zach Wheeler going for the Phillies, a former Met.
Revenge.
Yeah, definitely could have used him certainly last year. But the Mets are home dogs right now, and the Phillies with Wheeler opened $1.20 and now sitting at $1.18. So not a lot of move. I think it'll be, when I looked just now at the counter, pretty good two-way action on JVT, 8 for the total, and the Phillies plus 140 on the run line.
Two different stories for Zach Wheeler in the two starts for him for Philadelphia. First time out, actually blanked the Atlanta Braves. Mm-hmm. It was back in the third. It was a 7-inning performance, just gave up one hit, no walks, was absolutely dominant, struck out 10. But it's a really good Braves lineup, and when you get a second crack at a guy, it's not going to go the same way. And sure enough, 4 2/3, 7 hits, 3 earned runs, got taken deep once. He walked 4 guys. It was a completely different Zach Wheeler. Also, kind of, and you know this, part of the problem with Wheeler, sometimes the consistency, but
yes,
can look dominant in one showing and then kind of look like he did the second time around.
That was his tale of two series, right? Mm-hmm. Phillies went in there and swept him the opening series, but the Braves got their revenge.
Yep. Marlins and Braves also on deck here. Hey, this is something that we discussed yesterday, right? The Miami Marlins and some of the prices that you see on them, for the most part, are going to be kind of attractive when you get the pitching staff of this level. However, yesterday, not exactly the way I think people who bet on Pablo Lopez expected that thing to go.
Yeah.
But you got the win, 14-8, the final score there. Lopez got smoked. 4 innings, 9 hits, 6 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, taken deep twice. Freed, by the way, not that much better. The fighting Von Tobel's my fantasy team. I needed to start through him in there. Didn't go very well. So now we get the bounce back here for the Miami Marlins. Opening price in where you're at right now, Vinny Maiulo.
205. Here it is. 50-cent move. 255. Biggest favorite on the board today are the Atlanta Braves against the Marlins. Total on the game from 8.5 under to now 8.5 flat, JVT.
Yep. Charlie Morton is the penciled in starter at this point right now for the Atlanta Braves. 2 solid outings up to this point, both against the Philadelphia Phillies, a total of 11 innings. Those two kind of different tales as well, as we were talking about last time out, though. Mm-hmm. Really solid, an 8-1 win over Philadelphia. 6 innings pitched, 4 hits, 1 earned run, struck out 7 in that matchup. Charlie Morton did, so he gets the start here, as you mentioned, the 255 favorite against the Miami Marlins, who can't hit and maybe used everything they possibly could in that win yesterday, scoring 14 wow. runs in that victory.
Yeah.
And then the last one on the board.
Yeah.
Dustin May taking on John Gray. Dodgers, Rockies. Dodgers pretty big favorite as well.
Yeah, this is they tied the Braves for the highest number on the board, 255 here. This money coming in though on the Rockies, JVT. We opened this 285, so some dog money coming in. But again, never at a loss for Dodger money. Dodgers in plenty of parlays.
Run line?
Yeah, -1.5, -0.25. You hit it on the head. So there'll be plenty of Dodger money again. We very rarely do we need the Dodgers during the regular season. They're just one of the absolute public teams. Under on the total from 8 to now 7.5.
Two solid outings for John Gray, so you can kind of understand too a little bit, at least some support through some first fives maybe for John Gray. Mm-hmm. 6 2/3 last time out, taking care of the Arizona Diamondbacks. 2 hits, only given up 1 run. The walks, kind of an issue against the D-backs. 4 walks in those 6 2/3, something you don't want against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Dustin May, just 1 start this season, but a solid one against the Oakland Athletics. It was a 10-3 win for the Los Angeles Dodgers with 6 strong, 2 hits, 2 walks, but struck out 8. May, of course, a guy who I think we expect a lot of coming into this season. High ceiling in terms of what he can provide as a pitcher. I really like his stuff, at least, and he has shown early in just 1 start, and of course in his career, that he could probably handle this kind of a load.
Yeah, I think so, especially, you know, the Rockies. Again, the Rockies have started off very slow. Everybody was talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks starting off slow, but the Rockies have gotten off to a very slow start as well. So, 3-8. Oof, Dodgers. Yep. Right on top of the division, right where they left off.
We do have one last final in the books. We'll update that as we head out. The Cincinnati Reds fall to the San Francisco Giants. Giants with their 8th win, 3-0 over the Reds. Johnny Cueto charged with the victory for San Fran there.
That's a 2 in a row, right? They beat him last night, too.
All right. Well, when we come back, Vinny asked for it, and so he gets it. Fallout from the trade deadline. Biggest moves that Andy McNeil liked. Some of the action later today as well. Vegas, big matchup with the Los Angeles Kings, Colorado, St. Louis, Anaheim, San Jose, and much more. Andy McNeil, Visa, and NHL analyst with us on the other side here on My Guys in the Desert.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari. Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boost, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get a $250 match bonus, the fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem in Illinois, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. In Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. In Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. Not valid in Iowa. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. Now back to JVT and Vinny Maiulo.
Thank you, Danielle, again. Catch Danielle with the guys, primetime action, MSG Plus, if you got it. Give out fruit baskets and good information as well.
They got a special guest today, I believe, don't they?
6 o'clock, I think. It sounds like a really big-time guy.
I think he knows his NBA.
Hey, speaking of big-time guys, Andy McNeil's with us. He's giving us some time. Andy would understand my comments about Thanos and things like that. Vinny doesn't really get them. Andy, what's up, buddy?
You guys are going to play the youth card now.
I don't want to alienate Vinny here, so let's keep it on the straight and narrow here.
Attaboy, JVT. Andy.
Okay, all right. No Thanos references, no talking about Brendan Fraser and his potentially perfect action film, The Mummy, which came out in the late 90s. All right, Andy, so let's start with this. You and I were texting a little bit a couple of days ago. The trade deadline move that you think maybe either doesn't getting enough credit, anything like that, like the move that we should be talking about, other than Taylor Hall, or maybe it is the Taylor Hall move, what's the most impactful move in your mind?
Well, you've got to love that Washington brought in Anthony Mantha to play behind Alexander Ovechkin on the second line with Backstrom and Oshie. I mean, that's a great move. They paid quite a price to get him. So if you're looking at it from that standpoint, I mean, you could look and say maybe Detroit actually won the trade, you know, given the fact that they got a ton of assets for the future and a pretty good player in Jacob Verana. But, you know, as far as a hockey trade, you know, just looking at it one for one, the players that were involved, Verana had fallen out of favor with Peter Laviolette there in Washington and was getting scratched quite often. So now they got a guy that they like in Anthony Mantha, chipped in with a goal and an assist in his debut with the Capitals yesterday. You know, looks like a great start for that team.
So let me ask you, because, you know, I'm asked all the time, right, like at the NBA trade deadline, the question always was like, all right, look at the futures. What does that mean? You know, this move, that move. And for the most part, I was kind of like, well, you know, maybe a move like the Chicago Bulls adding a Vucevic, you can look at them to make the playoffs. But from a handicapping perspective, when you look at the NHL trade deadline, what does that mean in terms of looking forward into the future? Is there a way to attack the futures board? Is there a way to look at, like, odds to make the playoffs? Or is this more like small moves, tweaks to rosters that you generally think, well, maybe adjust the power rating a little bit, but there's nothing that you're like, all right, I'm jumping on team X because they made this move and they're going to be a contender now?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there could be a spot where it could be like the perfect buy low opportunity right now. But, you know, in general, I think that the moves that are made, even the big ones, are going to, you know, have marginal increases as far as the team's chances of winning a Stanley Cup. So nothing to run to the sports book because of, that's for sure.
Andy, in terms of that, though, just to piggyback off of JVT's point, with the Capitals at 15-1 and the Islanders at 12-1, I think the Capitals are probably going to surpass them. I know they're close in the standings right now, but at some point, I think that the Caps, especially the fact that they're healthier than the Islanders, there's a better price option there, too. Wouldn't you agree at 15-1 and 12-1 for the Islanders moving forward?
I would agree. I do think that there's a worry with the Capitals, and that's in goal. Neither goaltender Vitek Vanacek or Ilya Samsonov has really been up to par. And Samsonov is a player that I think has, you know, a ton of potential. He's shown that he can play at this level in the past. So, you know, it's been a rough season for everybody, and he's a player that has you know, maybe not been able to get into his groove given the stoppages with COVID and whatnot. So, there definitely could be some value in the Capitals when comparing to the Islanders like that. But of course, the Islanders defensively and in the net are more sound, in my opinion.
Yeah, and speaking of in net, I think you look at the Golden Knights here, not to be a homer, but the fact of the matter is two solid goaltenders in Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Lehner. I mean, and I think that impacted the Golden Knights' just minimal moves at the trade deadline because of the cap space there. Do you think they've got an advantage, particularly over the Avalanche, who are absolutely on fire, by the way? We all know that. 16 wins in their last 19 games. This team just doesn't lose in a 4-point lead over the Golden Knights right now. But how do you like the situation in goal for the Vegas Golden Knights?
Oh, I think in goal, the Vegas Golden Knights, while they don't have the best goaltender of the bunch, I think that goes to Philip Grubauer, despite the fact that Marc-Andre Fleury has been fantastic this year. You know, they've got more security overall. If one goaltender were to go down, they'd have a really good one to back that one up. And, you know, in the case of Colorado bringing in Devan Dubnyk, I think they're going to be maybe a little bit disappointed with what they get there. But, you know, Dubnyk's done it in the past, so maybe he can pull some strong performances out again. But overall, I think I'm somebody that is a little high on the Vegas Golden Knights relative to other sports bettors. I've had trouble as far as getting good prices on the Vegas Golden Knights this year. It seems like whenever I've thought I've had a substantial edge in a given game, the line has moved against me quite often, and it's been rather frustrating. I don't think the market sees these two teams as being on par, but I've been somebody that has thought some of the prices, especially between these two teams, have been a little bit outrageous, with the Knights, you know, carrying plus 165 price tags into games recently. So, you know, I'm probably going to be on the side of the Knights if it comes down to it, given what we've seen out of the market in the past.
Andy, so let's kind of build on this Vegas thing, because I saw some spots open this game tonight against the Kings as low as $1.75. Now we're as high as minus -220 in some shops. You know, obviously the market moving in the direction of Vegas. Why such a low price and the market move here?
Well, I think there's the Cal Peterson factor with Los Angeles. If we compare it to the price just a few days ago, that one opened around -175 and got bet upwards. Obviously, I think we'll see Jonathan Quick today with Cal Peterson taking the loss in the last game. So that would be justified moving the price the way it has. And I think, you know, in general, the people that are setting the lines, they've got some team strengths and some general ratings, but they're not taking into account some of the more nuanced stuff, like, you know, which guy is going to go tonight. And some of these teams that tend to switch it up quite a lot, and it's hard to predict on a game-to-game basis who actually will be in goal.
The other big move on the market, too, Minnesota at home here against Arizona. Lowest price on the market I saw earlier today was $1.80. And again, kind of a similar move there. We're seeing as high as 220.
Yeah, I think you missed this one, JVD. That game just ended.
You can still tell me why it moved.
Actually, a funny story. Yeah. I was on earlier with Lombardi and Brady Cannon earlier in the day, and I had mentioned that, okay, if Antti Raanta gets the start in goal, I'll jump on the Coyotes at +175. But then I went to nap, and I'm a guy who never naps, but I desperately needed a nap today and slept right through that warm-up and into the Colorado Avalanche Blues game. And just a little segue here, I would have been all over the Blues at +160 or better, given the news that Philip Grubauer won't be suiting up tonight due to a COVID-19 situation. But unfortunately, I slept through that one and missed it, so a little bit of a burn there. But I was able to luck out and not bet the Coyotes and take a loss earlier today.
Andy, the Northern Division, I think it's the weakest of the four divisions this year. Another knock on our friends north of the border. But when you look at power
Andy?
Ratings, I know that. I'm just no knock. I'm talking about power ratings. And when you look at these teams and you break them down, a big game tonight between the Flames and the Canadiens. The Canadiens, they hold that fourth spot, but this is a huge game, I would say, for the Flames, who are right behind them trying to get back into this thing. But the Canadiens getting the betting attention so far from $1.50 to $1.65. How do you see this game, and how do you see the Northern Division as we head into the stretch?
Yeah, I think your assessment is correct. It's probably the weakest division overall, you know, especially with teams like the Canucks and the Senators at the bottom. But, you know, it's been a grind. These teams haven't stopped for the most part outside of what's happened in Vancouver here. There's been no breaks. They've gone, you know, day in, day out, fighting away for the playoffs. And I think what Toronto's done is pretty impressive. You know, it's been their division practically all season long. Nobody's really questioned that. I think this team, you know, definitely gets a little bit of a knock because of the fact that they're in the North Division. But I think the narrative that, you know, they're not as good as some of these other teams, I don't think they're as good as Colorado, Tampa Bay, Vegas even. But they're right there. I think they're really close. And I think people will be surprised if they do, you know, get a chance to show what they've got in the playoffs and don't run into a string of bad luck.
I will redeem myself in the last 60 seconds here. I know this puck does not drop until about 7:30. Anaheim and San Jose, this has been another move. I think I saw $1.95 on San Jose, Andy. The analysis, the reason why, because I think now William Hill, I'm looking at like -165, about a 30-cent move in some shops.
Yeah, well, the Sharks are starting a gentleman in goal from the Czech League and the AHL that nobody's really ever heard of, and he's got some pretty atrocious minor league numbers. But unfortunately, the Ducks aren't going with John Gibson. It's going to be Anthony Stolarz in net. So I'm on the Ducks already, unfortunately, at +160. Looks like I got a little bit of value there, but maybe not a play that I'd be running to make at this point.
You can follow him on Twitter at Digital Gambler. Andy, my friend, it is good to talk to you. Thank you very much, as always.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks,
Andy.
You got it, Andy. Again, Digital Gambler up on Twitter. The work, by the way, PointsBet Weekly, and on the website, Andy's got his selection up in the NHL portion.
You want 3-1 on the Coyotes?
Give me who won the game?
Minnesota.
Give me Minnesota. Give me Minnesota. Book it. Hey, senior NBA analyst, all right? Let's go. Come on. All right, we're all done here. My guys of the desert. I'll be back tomorrow. Coming up next, it is Rush Hour on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll see you.